Amen. We're going to continue our series on soul care. And today we're going to talk about how God's word is the mirror. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're teaching us, Lord, how to possess our souls, how to take care of our souls. God, I thank you that as this word goes forth today, Lord, that you quicken it on the inside of us, God, that we gain revelation and understanding, Lord, of what the word is saying about our inward parts. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, open the eyes of our heart, open our spiritual ears, Lord, to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to each one of us today and to our church. And we thank you, Father, for all those that will listen on the website, Lord. We just thank you that as this word goes out, Lord, as your word goes out, that it penetrates our innermost being, Lord, and there's a change. God, we ask for change. Change us and make us more like you, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to start by going to the book of beginnings, which is in Genesis, and just take a look at the creation of man and its original intent. If you want to know the beginning of a thing, the origin of it, you've got to go to where it began. So, in the Word, that's what we're doing this morning. I don't know how many of you have studied the book of Genesis, but we did a lot of studying on it in Bible college, and it's so interesting because it is the book of beginnings. And so we're going to go right back to Genesis 1, 26 through 27, and we like to read our scriptures together. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, so we're going to speak this out today. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God created man in his likeness. And if you notice, God said, "Let us make man." And that's a plural. That's the Elohim. It's a plural because God is a triune God. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when God created man, he created a triune being. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are made in the likeness of God. And he gave us dominion. So man like God is a triune being, and he was created to rule in the earth. He gave him dominion. And we even have dominion over all the creeps. Hallelujah. Over every creepy thing, right? Hallelujah. So God has given us authority. We're made in his likeness. And so this is the original blueprint and intent for each one of us. Man is unable to understand himself apart from the Word of God. The only way we can have an understanding of who we are is to go to the Word of God. There are many, many problems in our life that can only be solved by understanding God's Word. I would say most of the problems. Not math problems. We're not talking about math problems, right? Hallelujah. We're talking about what goes on the inside of us. So let's go on. We're just going to read another psalm just to bring into light that man was made to have dominion. So let's read this psalm. Psalm 8, 3 through 6 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." is to represent God and be a ruler in the earth. That is our original intent. God created us in his likeness. He gave us authority. He gave us dominion. And when you think about it, the psalmist says, what is man that you are mindful of him? You know, man is just a little speck in the universe. When you consider the vastness of our universe, when you consider all of the planets and their rotations, and here we are on this little planet Earth, and here we are together, just this little specks of men. So what is man that you're mindful of us? Well, God's very mindful of us because we were created in his image after his likeness to represent him in this earth. Hallelujah. So the real nature of man can be found in the Bible. And the scripture encourages us to look into the word of God with faith. Amen. So we're having faith today, right? God said we're created in his image. So we're going to become more and more like God, right? All right. And as we understand his word is a mirror that reflects what's going on the inside of us, okay? So we're going to take a look. This scripture we have read every week. We want to read it again about spirit, soul, and body. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, let's read it. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. And let's read the points. Man is unable to understand himself aside from the word of God. The real nature of man is found in the Bible. So the real nature of man is found in the scripture. You see, what we were born with is that fallen nature. It's not the divine nature of God. When Adam sinned, he fell from the grace of God. You know, God told him that not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because when you do, you will surely die. Well, he didn't die physically, but he died. His spirit died. But his soul took on a disease called rebellion. It's like a disease that we're born with in our soul that's rebellion. How many have noticed there is just a little bit of rebellion? Yeah. And if you raise children, you notice it very quickly, and they trigger yours. Is that right? They teach us a lot. But God wants to sanctify us a little bit. Completely. Yeah. Yeah, he does a complete job. He does a total overhaul on our body, soul, and spirit. So our spirit was dead. Our soul took on this disease. And our body actually took on decay. You see, prior to that, Adam and Eve didn't know what it was like to be sick. I wonder what they thought the first time they got the flu. Hallelujah. Not a fun thing, right? So let's go on and take a look at God's word is a mirror. In James chapter 1, 23 through 27, let's read it together. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And let's bring up the points. Okay, so we look into the mirror of the Word of God. And the scripture says we're supposed to pay attention to what we see. You know, so many times people read the scripture to prove a point. Have you ever done that? I want to prove this to somebody. I'm going to, you know. But actually, we're supposed to let the Word of God read us. It reads us. And then the scripture says, be a doer of the word. Don't read the word and then walk away and not do what it says to do. That's like looking in the mirror, seeing your hair all messed up, your dirty face, and you just walk away and you forget about cleaning yourself up. You know? How many times do you look in the mirror? Have you ever watched people? I love to watch people. They'll walk by a storefront and they're looking at themselves and they're fixing themselves all up, you know. You look in your rearview mirror. We look in the mirror to check and see if we're okay, if we're presentable. At least I hope we do. Hope we do. And sometimes we miss things, you know. And then you're so embarrassed. But that's the way we should be with the Word of God. We're looking at the Word of God. It's reading us. It's instructing us. And then we're to do what it says. And the scripture says in James that if we're not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in whatever you do. Think about that. That is a promise of God. We can be blessed in whatever we do if we will do the Word of God and not just hear it, but do it. Let's go on to that next verse. This is one of the verses that we put our started our church on. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, what is pure religion? To visit the orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. It's not about what you're talking, because I've met so many people who can talk it, but they sure don't walk it. You know, and you can see right through it. They start in and you think, oh, Lord, help me. And, you know, we label that a religious spirit. You know, it's a lot of religiosity. It's just a lot of their cliches. And they always have a simple answer to some of the most complex problems. Or they totally ignore what's going on in your life and just give you a religious cliche. Have you met them? It's very irritating. Because we should know better than that. We should know better than that. We should be able to be compassionate. See, that's part of this soul, is to be able to empathize and to be empathetic and to be compassionate to other people. If you have difficulty doing that, then you have a locked heart. And hearts can become locked because of different experiences that you've had in your life. You make a hard decision that that is not going to happen to you again, and no one is going to get into that space. And the very thing you do is you lock out the compassion and the love of other people and the kindness, because your heart's locked, because you're trying to protect yourself. And so there's a process of healing the soul in the midst of all of that. There's hope, hallelujah, because all of us have had locked hearts in different areas. Often a person will have a locked heart in the area of being a workaholic. All they do is work, 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 work. Because if they work and work and work and work, then they don't have to really have any type of deep relationships. Come on. Have you met people like that? Work, work, work. And I think having a good work ethic is amazing. You know, I admire people who have a good work ethic. And I appreciate my mom had a very good work ethic, and my father as long as he could. That was modeled for me. Some people don't have that modeled for them. But when you use something, it can be a hobby that you like to do. It can be a sport that you like to do that overtakes your life and keeps you from engaging with people. You have to engage with people. You're going to spend eternity with people. What Bishop say when he was here? He said, the only thing that's going to change when Jesus comes is your body. Have you thought about that? You're not going to be that much different, in other words. Your body's going to change. We're going to have a new body. And of course, our souls will be completely healed. I do believe that. Because he said he's going to wipe away every tear. Oh, thank you, Lord. We've cried lots of tears. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So sin actually cuts off the life of God from our lives. It cuts off our relationship with him. And that's why God hates sin so much. Because it totally cuts off our relationship with him. Let's read our next passage in Ephesians 4:18 through 19. Let's read it together. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. This is all rebellion. The only way to recover from rebellion is the rebirth. That is the only way. The spirit was made to be the ruler of the soul, and the soul rules the body. So the spirit is God-focused. It's a God consciousness. And there's a rebirth and a regeneration that comes into our spirit because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Without Jesus, we would not have that. Adam was, his spirit was dead. It was separated, cut off from God. In Isaiah 59:2, it says, your iniquities, our rebellion, have separated you from God. And if our spirit is separated from God, it dies. The only life we have for our spirit comes from God. So God's word is like a mirror. And we look into the mirror of God. And the word of God is living and powerful. And I believe that's on the next slide. All right, let's read from Hebrews. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And this is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we cannot truly know our inner being aside from God's word. The X-ray of God's word. This passage is like talking about a surgeon with a scalpel that goes in and cuts your body and divides the joints and the marrow. Just think of a surgeon with a scalpel. Well, God's word is a spiritual scalpel. And it divides the soul and the spirit. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. So the body is the outward that relates to the world. The soul is self-focused. It's self-focused. It says statements like, I feel, and I think, and I want. It's self-conscious. And actually, the soul is your personality. And it is the decision maker. Our mind, our will, and our emotion. Self-will and rebellion originate in the soul. And when we analyze our problems, they center in the soul. When Adam made that decision to deliberately disobey God, he rebelled. And we talked about that. He took on the disease of rebellion. So your soul is this pivotal point. And it's in your soul you determine either you're going to live for God or you're going to do what you want to do. And your body is a slave. That's what Dr. Summerall always taught. The body's a slave. It just goes whichever way the soul decides it has to go. So if your soul, if you're born again by the Spirit of God and you're allowing the life of the Spirit to come into your soul, then you're going to make good decisions. But if you are not allowing the light of the Spirit to direct your soul, then you're not going to make good decisions. So the function, let's talk just a minute about the soul and the spirit is God focused. Go to the next one. Next slide, please. Okay. So there are three main functions of the spirit, and they are worship, fellowship, and revelation. We receive revelation in our spirit man from the Lord. And we fellowship with God spirit to spirit. And we worship in spirit. The three main functions of the soul are the will, the intellect, our mind, and the emotions. So the soul entertains ideas and shuffles around concepts. This all goes on the inside of us. And the soul determines the direction of our life. And the soul can rebuff the spirit. In other words, it can resist the spirit. Revelation. Let's go to Revelation. I'm sorry, Proverbs. Because revelation belongs in the spirit. Just want to clarify some things. We don't get revelation in our soul. Revelation comes into our spirit, and from our spirit man, the thought comes up and is released into our soul. So really, our spirit man is probably right down in here. For those of you who have taken our prophetic classes, you've been to classes, when you receive a thought from the throne room or a thought from the Spirit of God, it doesn't come from out here somewhere. It's not natural knowledge. It is a thought that drifts up on the inside of you and it comes into your reasoning, your mind, your thoughts. Does that make sense? So if you're looking out here for an answer, you need to look in here for the answer from the Spirit of the living God that is on the inside of you. So the scripture says in Proverbs 20:27 in the New King James, it says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. And the King James, let's read the King James version together. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So God dwells, the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us when we are born again. And when we're born again by the Spirit of God, we become a living channel for the Spirit of God to flow through us. Now, I'm not talking about channeling like the New Age channels demonic spirits from out here and allows them to use their bodies. I'm talking about being born again by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is resident on the inside of us, and He uses us to release His living water. Let's read about that in John 7:37 through 39. I get really excited about this topic because we partner with God of the universe. Think about that. What is man that you are mindful of him? We are partnering with God, and the Spirit of the living God is right here on the inside of us. Powerful. Let's read that. John 7:37 through 39. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So from innermost being flows rivers of living water. And this transformation of regeneration creates this marvelous change that the person becomes a channel for this life to flow out of him. Now, if you've asked God to use you in situations, this is how He uses you. There are rivers of living water. When you speak, you create a flow. When we sing, we create a flow. When we sing spontaneous songs unto the Lord, we create a flow. Musicians create a flow. The musicians, the first musician was Jabal, and his name means to create a flow. So there is a flow of life that comes out of us when we are walking with God. And I remember the Lord gave me a vision one day. And I said, Lord, there are so many messed up people. It was when we first went downtown. We felt like David. You know, he had the depressed, those people who were in debt. And they were disgruntled. And we had a whole bunch of them that came in. And I'm like, Lord, these people are such... They're in so many messes. How in the world do we ever help them get out of these messes? And he said, Janet, I wouldn't give you living water if it wasn't to clean up a mess. Now, what do you clean up a mess with? You grab some water usually and you start to clean up that mess, right? So when we're in a mess, we don't have to stress because we have living water that can flow out of us and clean up that mess. Hallelujah. I get excited about the power of God that's on the inside of me and on the inside of you. Do you realize how many messes we can clean up together if we allow the Spirit of the living God to flow through us? And those rivers of living water, I want the river to flow out over me. You see, that's why it's so important what we speak in this season. Because we release a flow over people's lives. We release a flow. And so today, we need to commit ourselves that we'll release that living water. Don't keep it to yourself. You know, so many times we have so many good things from God and we just keep it to ourselves. God didn't intend us to keep it to ourselves. Let's go to our next verse, and we're almost done for today. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Let's read John 4:23-24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So spirit relates to God in worship. Worship, fellowship, revelation, and the soul must receive life from the spirit. This is what gets our soul energized, when we receive the life from the spirit. Thank you, Lord. You know, Jesus made it very clear to Nicodemus, and we're not going to read the story, but it's in John 3, that Nicodemus had to be born again. The only way our spirit is regenerated is to be born again. And then we come from death to life. And then the life of the spirit begins to penetrate and nourish our soul. And it's your personality. You see people begin to change after the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them. After they've had that born again experience, they change. Until then, they are in darkness. Their spirit is dead, and they will act like the world because they don't know no better. But once we're born again by the Spirit of God, we have every opportunity to live the life that God has for us, which is a wonderful life. God says, I have plans for you. I have a hope for you. I have a future for you. It isn't to stay in your depression. It isn't to stay in your mess. It isn't to stay in financial debt. It isn't to stay in the place that you're at. The Lord is always there to help bring us up and out of our situation or help us walk through. I often think about the scripture, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, you know what? Sometimes you feel like you're walking through a death, right? You're in a valley and it's the shadow of death. Yeah, you feel like you're walking in a death, but you're just walking through. Yea, though I walk through. It's just a walking through. You're going to get through it. Tell your neighbor, you're going to get through it. And God's helping you. He is helping you. We say, oh, God's going to help you. No, God is helping you. He is. He is a very present need in time of trouble. He is right there. He is right there. A very present help in time of trouble. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. We're born again. Is everyone here born again? I think I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Hallelujah. Let's take our last verse today. And my challenge to you this week is, what are you going to wear this week? Let's take a look at Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. Let's read it together. Regarding your former way of life, you were taught to strip off, cast off your old man, which is being ruined by its deceptive desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourself with the new man, which was created according to the likeness of God in righteousness and true holiness. You are made in God's image. Created in God's likeness. And so we can take off that old man and we can put on the new man that is like God. It is like Christ Jesus because that life is in us. So through Jesus Christ, you have the power to decide how you will live your life. Will you live it the old way or will you live it God's way? And every one of us, I believe, almost every day has decisions to make upon what life are we going to live? Is it going to be the old ways? Are you going to slip back in? Are you going to choose God's way? That struggle with our soul is going to be a constant struggle our whole life. It gets less and less as you train your soul. It gets less and less. You have to do some soul training, some soul care, and get the mind going and get the body following. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about procrastination. You know, you got to make yourself get up and do it. It's not like Nike just do it, but it is kind of like Nike just do it, for Pete's sake. And John Maxwell, he said he tells himself, just do it. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Instead of putting it off, just do it now. Get it done with. You know, don't procrastinate it. You got to get your body going. Because many of the things, I said, my thing is I'll let the mail pile up. Does anybody let the mail pile up? So we switched it around and we put a table right in our kitchen and the mail is right there. And so whoever brings in the mail, it's right there. We go through it and we take care of it every day. But we had to have a plan to get our soul and our body moving in the right direction. So you got to come up with stuff. The Holy Spirit will give it to you. It's made a huge difference having that little table right there, because I have a ginormous dining room table. Has anyone ever seen my dining room table? It's pretty big. I can put months of mail on my dining room table. And then when the kids are coming over to eat, you know, then you got to go through all the mail. It takes hours to get through the mail. I thought, okay, I cannot use this dining room table to hold mail, because it was encouraging my procrastination, you know, to just keep piling it up there. And so now we have a little table and we're taking care of it. Yes, I could take the leaves out, but Apostle Leonard likes the leaves in. So they're in. So, hallelujah. You know, everybody has their own thing. So we need the Spirit of God released on the inside of us. We are living souls. And we're put together to fulfill a divine destiny. If you can remember that. We are living souls put together to fulfill a divine destiny. And I'm going to ask praise team if they're come. We're going to sing Jesus Lover of My Soul one more time before we go. So if they would come on up here. He loves us. He offers us peace. He offers us a much better way of life where our minds can rest. You know, your mind can just go and go and go. Worrying. We're not supposed to worry, right? Amen. I heard someone the other day on the news say, well, this is something we can all worry about. I'm like, I don't think so. I'm not going to worry about that. Not my problem. We have to know what is ours and what is not ours. Because people will try to put worry on you. We're not going to worry. I did hear a good report today while they're coming that the coronavirus, less cases were reported in the last 24 hours. And so they're hoping that it's kind of slowing down. Hallelujah. Have you been praying for our brothers and sisters in China? Yeah. Two of the towns that just recently got quarantined are places that I ministered in when I went to China. And just my heart goes out to them. And we need to pray for them. Because wouldn't it be amazing if the church in China began to see signs, wonders, and miracles. And people walking off, you know, with all of the bad reports. And the government makes it so hard on Christians. So hard on Christians. Before I got to Shenzhen is the name of the town. Before I got there, there was 2 weeks before that, a pastor and his associate pastor were arrested. They beat the senior pastor to death, and they still had the associate pastor. And his congregation knew they were just torturing him. But this is what they do to Christians. And every week, if we were in communist China, we would have to get a permit for every service that we have. Anytime they meet in a building, they have to get a permit to meet. Doesn't matter if they do the same meeting every week, every single time, and there is an expense. So the government makes it very, very hard on Christians. And they said, I've been reading some of the martyr news, you know, that is released, that during this time of struggle, people are reporting their Christian brothers and sisters. And so when persecution comes and sickness comes, we have to be prepared in our mind what decisions we're going to make. But they're turning them in. And so to me, that's the agenda of hell, just to keep the Christians pushed down so they're not praying for people. You see what I'm saying? It's like Satan always has an agenda to stop what God wants to do. So, Father, we just pray right now for the church in China, for Christians in China, Lord, that you surround them with your supernatural protection. And God, we forbid this demonic agenda to stop the army of the Lord that you have in China. Yes. Raise them up. Prepare the way supernaturally, God, that they can pray one for another and be healed in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for a miraculous reports, Father, and we thank you that this is dying down, this virus, God. We thank you, Lord, that you remove all of this disease, this virus, in Jesus' name, Lord. Cancel the assignment of the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy, and release your life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.